Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Spread out wide, grab your partner, go hog wild.
Big balls in Cowtown, we'll all go down. Big balls in Cowtown, we'll dance around. Working on the railroad, sleeping on the ground. Eating saltine crackers, 10 cents a pound. Big balls in Cowtown, we'll all go down. Big balls in Cowtown, we'll dance around.
Hey, family. We got Chico in here and Eric in here making us sound good. You know, Chico, family, we were just talking in the break, me and Chico and Eric, we were talking about, eating healthy.
Yeah, we're eating better.
The new health food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Free-range deer.
Free-range deer.
That's how it
really
started.
Any.
We started by saying, you know what, the beef and all the meat and protein we had that's 2 years old is gone now.
Yeah,
we're down to for a while. It hasn't been like this, but I know y'all are doing the same thing as your freezers are getting used.
Well, you know, that's what's wonderful about being here in Texas. We have, of course, we have whitetail deer season. Everybody fills their freezers up during whitetail deer season. But in Texas, you have axis, you have sika, you have fala deer, you have
we got hogs everywhere.
You can eat hogs anytime you want to shoot one. Mm-hmm. And exotics is the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't ever in Texas, an elk is an exotic.
Yes.
So if you see an elk, you want to shoot him? Yeah, it's all right. Go ahead and shoot him. It's nice. We don't have a season. You're going to pay a landowner.
Yeah, you're going to find out who owns it.
Nilgai, yeah. Same way. Mm-hmm. Nilgai were brought to down South Texas by the King Ranch, and now they have taken off, and they're everywhere. And Nilgai are so damn good eating. Now, big bull is tough. Big old bull is tough. Cow, that's good eating. Young bull, that's good eating. But that's what's wonderful about being in Texas. You don't just have to eat out of the grocery store.
No.
And,
the shelves go bare and we're going to be all right. We're not doing that.
No.
Toilet paper is an issue, but so far they haven't made a run on that.
Nah, not yet.
It's that $4 bread, $8 milk.
Well, when they say, there's not enough trees to make toilet paper. Well, I think we're going to have, and when he said that, I was in there. Okay, Sam Kaufman says we can make toilet paper out of what? Hemp.
Oh, yeah, hemp fiber. Well, I don't worry too much about that because we still have running water, which is better than anything, probably. So, toilet paper. People are worried about toilet paper. Okay.
Milk is the thing that's crazy. Yeah. Eggs are crazy. Yeah. Go to Callahan's, get you a chicken. Yeah. They got laying hens. They sell them there all the time. You get you a pullet, and within 6 or 8 weeks, you will have fresh eggs. They have pullets there. They sell them, and then within 6 or 8 weeks, you'll have fresh eggs in backyard.
Yeah. I may inherit a chicken coop because my daughter's dogs have now, for the third time, annihilated the chickens.
So. Well, we lost ours. Raccoons took care of them.
Yeah.
So I got to get by there and pick up some more, but we just moved, so I got to make a new pen, everything for them.
Well, that's my problem, is I'd have to do everything because we have hawks and a couple of ingrained owls that will not go away, and they are hunters.
The owls, I wouldn't worry so much about them because they sleep in a coop, or are they going to sleep in a house.
Yeah,
or
you have to, at night they'd be put up, but in the daytime, they come out and hunt.
Yeah, they will, and your hawks will too. Mm-hmm. They'll get out there. I remember when my daddy one time he didn't go to the Army, and daddy, how come you didn't go to the Army? And I never noticed. He pulls his shoe off. There was a red hawk, red tail hawk, and now I'm talking 100 years ago, attacking his chickens. So he grabs a 12 gauge, runs out, opens the back door. He shot his little toe off.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, he shot his little toe off. That's a bad one. And, coming up to shoot that hawk. But, it's just things we got to do to take care of what we do.
Yeah.
You can put them, if you're worried about a chicken hawk, you can put them in a pen.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I would have to net off a pretty big portion to let them roam. Or, during the middle of the day, we got hawks that come out and take my birds from the bird feeder. And then, they all get silent for about a minute, and then it's done.
And then they're back.
And then they're all back right up like, oh, sorry about that, Jeff.
Yeah, don't worry. We just hungry. Don't worry. but that's what it's all about. It's, just like we were talking about yesterday, Mother Nature is a hell of a lot tougher on animals than we are.
Yeah.
And whether, it's when we was talking to Macy yesterday, I remember having Macy on one time, and we were talking about the trout, which we're headed into now. Mm-hmm. And I had saw some white-tailed deer on our place in Mason who just had laid down under a big shade tree and died there.
Couldn't do no more.
Couldn't do it no more. That's it. And I says, Macy, what was the matter with them? He says, well, if I'd have been there, he said, they probably had some kind of parasite, and they just couldn't take it. And they got weak because of the drought. They didn't have food to eat and our water. And I said, well, I feed them all that. He says, yeah, but they may not next door.
Right, yeah. And so, you can't control everything.
Nope. So, yeah, it's but here in Texas, you don't have to go hungry. Go to TWA, Texas Wildlife
.org.
Texas Wildlife Association.org, whatever.
.org,
And look at what they do. TWA. And they do so much to help get people outdoors. That adult mentored hunting program.
Yeah, that is very cool. After you think about it, that's what a lot of people need. Or they may just need a piece of it. Yeah. You don't need all of it.
Yeah, with me, it's kind of hard for me to wrap my mind around it at first. It's like, well, hell, I was raised that way.
Of course you can catch a fish. Of course you have. No, you haven't? No.
That's it.
Yeah.
Then I get to thinking. But a guy that was raised in, and Eric's the same way. Mm-hmm. Eric was raised in the country. You were raised in Mexico in the country.
Well, I met Mark Zuckerberg, and we talked, it was because through the fishing, through Keep Austin Fishing. Mm-hmm. And that was his story. That's, what attracted him and what put us on the radar. And he goes, because when I was a kid, your story's there about catching fish, and, I caught little bluegills. So the first thing I did was an amazing day in my life. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it. I miss it. And here's one of the richest guys in the world saying, I'm not able to do that anymore.
If you want to hook a kid on fishing, you get him a stick and a little piece of string and a little bitty hook and a box full of worms and let him sit there and catch perch just as fast as he can. Now, he don't have to keep them all. Now, we did because we cut the head off of them and scale them, and we ate them. but family, if you're looking for something for a kid to do and take him out there and feed him those perch that he's caught, cut their head off, scale them and then cut their head off, and then about every half inch you cut all the way to the backbone. And then you
score them down and smoke them.
Oh, no.
What are you going to do?
Salt and pepper, roll them in a little bit of flour and a mill of flour. Well, I put salt, a little bit of pepper, garlic powder, a little bit of lemon pepper, and then meal and a little flour, roll them in that, and then fry them. And you fry them till they're crispy.
So the whole thing is edible.
And just eat it like a potato chip.
Yeah.
Hey, great family, we got to get out of here. Got to thank Callahan's General Store. Next, we're going to talk to Captain Phil Spencer and visit with him. And then we're going to talk to Jerry down at Deep Sea Headquarters, Don Gordon. And I think we're going to talk more about what we need to be doing, how we need to be feeding ourselves. We may talk.
Sounds good, yeah.
Yeah. And then Ryan Hoover. We're going to talk about how to go hunting with pistols. We got to get out of here, family. Thank you, Callahan's. Go by and see them. We'll see y'all in a little bit, family.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylove.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat.
Hey, family. We found Captain Phil Spencer down. He's down there in Corpus. And, well, Captain Phil, is it kind of cool this morning down there Sunday morning on in Corpus Christi? Are you out getting ready to go fishing, or are you just sitting there looking at, out over the bays and looking at the blue water? Well, blue water about 20, 30 miles out, and then the dark water, the brown water.
Yeah.
Good
morning. And you know what? It's going to be a decent day.
Yep,
it's going to be chilly, but you know what? There's some days, like, we're going to get started later on this morning, maybe mid-afternoon. We're going to let it kind of heat up a little bit just so those fish aren't so cold, just like we are.
Chico says he you ought to be out there crab walking.
Oh, I'll be out there fishing. You bet. I'm going to be out there, my waders on, and having a good time. But we're not hitting it early this morning. We're actually going to do it afternoon because it just looks like a little bit better time frame. And let it warm up a little bit so we're not so cold. We in the wintertime, sometimes it's better to fish in the afternoons. That's when the bite's pretty good. Let those fish warm up.
So, Phil, I got a question for you. What is changing now with all of this and the way that people are? Is it a different clientele? Are people coming to fish for other reasons, or are you getting pretty much the same clientele?
No, it's to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, you learn the water, you learn the bottom. And just people want to know that move here, visit here. They want to catch fish, but they really want to learn how to do it, not look stupid doing it, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are actually gravitating towards the fact that you're known as an instructor.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just helping people and passing on that the knowledge that I have that I grew up fishing and wanting to pass it on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. Anyone.
I think your phone went away there a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the knowledge, you know, I said passing on the knowledge, helping people cut that learning curve. It's all a part of just doing, you know, having a good time and enjoying it. And we're catching a lot of fish. We're catching a lot of trout, redfish too. The trout bites are really good. But the people I get, a lot of new people, but I get a lot of old people that come back every year in the wintertime.
So are you people coming out to fish in a kayak for you to teach them how to, and then they can take it back, whether they are fishing in the bays, in the back of the bays, or taking it and using it on their lakes or rivers up here in the hill country?
You bet. It's always good. This is a great time of year. I like to even go freshwater fishing. You go catch a bunch of white bass over on the Nueces River.
Yep.
And, oh, it's incredible right now. That's just, that's so much fun. A little bit of work to clean all them, but it's so much fun. I don't keep them, but I like to go with friends and have a good time and catch a few freshwater fish occasionally. And, yes, and getting down here on the kayaks, it's kind of crazy. You say, well, it's in the wintertime, but you know what? You just got to watch what you're doing. If you're wearing a pair of waders, you've got to be in the right kind of boat. You've got to, you know, wear your life jacket all the time. I mean, it's just, I'm wearing waders when I'm paddling these kayaks, and you never know what could happen. That's a lot more dangerous than not. You know, I'm not wearing a pair of shorts, and people have got to watch out this time of year for hypothermia.
Now, Billy was telling us yesterday that with this norther, it blew a bunch of water out of the bays. And she says there's a lot of stuff out there she didn't even know was there because it really blew a lot of water out.
Yeah, it did. And the moon phase, same thing. It's just, and it was low. And I mean, it was so low that, and when it's that low, it definitely, you know, when it, and the water gets cooler, it's just a no-brainer. The fish have nowhere else to go, so they're going to stay in that deeper water because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
So fishing's been pretty good, though.
Are you trout, redfish,
yeah,
big uglies?
Still trout, redfish, you bet.
Are you seeing any flounder yet?
Yeah, we're catching a few here and there. Not that many. Mm-hmm. We're just not really targeting. We're in areas that you can catch them occasionally, but you know how to focus on where a lot of flounder like to stay. Occasionally we come across a few, but I don't really ever go right to the guts and sit in one spot for an hour trying to catch them in certain areas. You know, we're always on the move.
So are you seeing some big trout?
Yeah, some pretty good sized trout. We let go a couple of good ones this past week, but not nothing in that 30-inch range, something like that. And I was going to go here in the next day or two just for myself to play around, but I'm not mad at them. You know?
You sound like me. I've killed enough of those fish. That's the way I kind of look at it.
I've caught so many hundreds of those in my lifetime.
You've seen that trout he has mounted.
Oh, I know. But, you know, that's kind of the people. Well, Ken, do you go fishing? Yeah, once in a while. Striper fishing? No, I go to the coast. I want to go get a shark.
That's exactly right. Get down here. You don't know what you catch when you throw a bait offshore, but it's been good. The fishing hasn't been bad. The water temperatures came back up, but this last cold front, poof, and then this one that just hit the other day, the water's still low right now and not as bad as it was, but it's still pretty darn low. And we'll see how it all goes. Like I said,
when that water starts coming back in through the cuts, is that a good place to fish where that water's running back in?
It is, but it's depending on the water temperature. Right now is a good time. If you don't have a depth finder, I carry a meat thermometer. That's all I really want to know, what the water temperature is and that surface temperature where I'm fishing, and the difference from a couple of degrees. Can they get captured or not? You'll catch them on that incoming tide or the outgoing tide, but many times there's too much cold water coming off of those flats through those cuts. They're not going to hang right there.
But now when it's coming back in.
Yeah, but you have to time that tide right if you're going to do that. So if you were having a low tide at any time you're going to go fish in the morning, you're going to have a lot of cold water coming off those flats, and they're not going to want to be right there.
Okay.
But if you've got the tide, let's say it was coming in and you were going to go in the morning, you're going to have a little bit more warmer water coming into it. So those are just different things to think about. It's almost like a role reversal in the same spot.
Yeah. And see, you're teaching me something because we don't have tides in lakes.
Right.
And so I have to sit
there. The only tidal movement you get there is from the wind or the guys. Big boat's wake.
That's
you know?
It. That's the only movement you get in water. So I understand now why a tide is a big thing. Well, you got a tide coming in, so you want to be fishing here, or there's a tide going out, and then you want to be fishing here. So you're really kind of watching the movement of the water to where it necks down, bottles down. That's where you want to be fishing. And we're doing the same thing on lakes and rivers. were out there fishing that stream.
Right.
Okay, yeah. I understand now. I see now.
You just have to put different scenarios in place in the same spot that you want to fish, especially in the winter when it's really cold. Because, again, the flats get really cold at night because they're not a lot of water. Especially right now, there is no water up on the shallow flats. So the fish can't even be there if they wanted to. But, yeah. But, you know, the fishing's good. It's cold. And, like I say, just keep your hands and your feet nice and toasty. Yep. That's all I can say.
And still take plenty of water because you can get dehydrated out there even though it's hot or cold.
Oh, you will.
Yeah.
You will definitely, you'll get freezer, what do you call that?
Freezer burn.
Your lips. Yeah. Yeah, you betcha. But drink plenty of fluids and like I said, try to stay warm. You know, get your hand warmers. You know, your body's only going to take an hour or two or three of this.
Well, tell them how to find you.
It's not going to take a 6 or 8 hour day if you're going to go out in this cold weather, but dress accordingly.
Yep. Tell them how to find you.
Give me a call at 361-815-4240. You call the show Bug Ken, Bug Chico. Good to hear you, both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Give the show a call. Check out Keep Austin Fishing. And, Texas Kayak Fisherman. I'm all over the place, but you guys give me a shout. We'd love to help you get you out and have some fun and pass on the love of the sport.
We appreciate it. Thank you, brother.
Y'all have a wonderful weekend.
Be good. Hey, family, we got to get out of here. Callahan's, get by Callahan's. They're our sponsor. Go see Callahan's. Go get you a cold jacket or a warm jacket for this cold weather or maybe some soil amendments or something. We got to get out of here, family. We'll see you in a little bit.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Got out of town on a boat. Hey, family, we found Jerry. Well, he said his phone was updating last week or yesterday while
you know,
we couldn't
yesterday,
talk to him.
For a normal person, your phone updating at 5 o'clock in the morning would be fine.
That would
it would be.
Not for people like us. I couldn't believe it. It was, you know, and I couldn't do anything. Of course, I'm not that smart on these machines, but I evidently you can't stop it.
No. Or if it does, it does stuff to it. I think it turns into a roach or something like that. I don't know.
Something, no telling. Catches on fire.
But, did it get cold down there? Is it cold this morning down there?
It's not like it was, but the boys are all standing in here huddled inside the store.
Yeah. So we got to go fishing.
I can't go again today. You know, this is six Saturdays in a row I have had to cancel.
Good gosh.
And it looks like I'm going to cancel this morning, too.
Now,
it's just rough.
Tomorrow? Is it tomorrow we got like a 60 or 70% chance of rain on Monday? Up here.
Yeah.
Here we do.
I don't know about that. We had a little rain on Friday night. No, Thursday night.
Yeah.
We had a little rain on Thursday night. And then it was cloudy. There was a couple of peaks of sunshine yesterday afternoon, but it didn't really warm up much, you know, in the 50s. But the wind just keeps blowing. Just keeps blowing out of the morning.
On Friday, I walked out of the house just at the right time to see our 15 seconds of snowfall.
Yeah. My
granddaughter. Oh, it snowed. Yeah, 15 seconds. That's all.
Yeah. Granddaughter FaceTimed us from Fredericksburg, said, Grumpy, it's snowing. But it's not. She said, but it's not going to snow much.
No, not much at all.
Yeah, it didn't do anything.
And it wasn't snow. Ours was grapple. That puffy sleet.
Yeah, right. No, we didn't get any of that down here, thank goodness. Oh, they all panicked. They called off the schools for Friday.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Everything, because it was supposed to be so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what they're thinking, you know. These kids need to go to school.
Well, yeah.
They got enough problems as it is.
Ain't that the truth? Well, up here, they're closing schools because of the COVID. You know, they're shutting schools.
I heard that, too. You know, I don't know. This is going to be... You know, they're calling it a pandemic. This is going to be an endemic. It's going to be, you know, the 1918 Spanish flu is what we have now is a flu every year is just a variation of that.
That's
and this is what this is going to be. You're just going to have to get a shot every year.
Or this may be this coronavirus. I've had it. Nearly everybody in this room's had it that I'm sitting here with. And every one of them, the Omicron. It was a bad cold. Was that the
right?
One?
Yeah. We're going. Right. What's this? This is a bad cold.
Yeah, that's all it was.
I mean, I don't want to belittle anybody else's death, but this last strain is not bad.
No, it's not.
I got a guy that worked all day yesterday, and then he texted me last night. Well, I'm positive for COVID.
No.
I took two tests. Both of them are positive, and I was feeling bad at work. I said, "Dude, why in the hell didn't you go home?"
Well, same. My wife's work. They're just going in. You're just going in.
It's
going
to be, it's everything in due time will pass.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I sure wish this weather would pass. I'd like to go fishing sometime.
Well,
I do nothing but cancel trips left and right.
Well, the way it's setting up, every 7-day pattern, it's hitting on Thursday and it takes out the weekend.
Yeah.
Yep. Thursday, Friday, Saturday is all a bust.
Yep.
And I got these people down here, you know, I turned in my permit so that I could move it to another boat and get my so I can go snapper fishing in state waters on the Kingfisher. I got Captain Marvin back, you know, they call him Hoover.
Well, yeah.
Because he vacuums up them snapper like nobody's ever seen.
Yeah, he's good.
And everybody's anxious to do that. They've had my permit for 3 weeks. They received it 3 weeks ago. Like yesterday. Still haven't finished processing it. So once
well,
we get
nobody's
that done,
in
we'll
a hurry.
Get out there and get some red snapper if we can get some weather.
Yep. Now, Marvin, you just want to see his list of the GPS
his coordinates. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, I know.
He's got every spot on the golf.
He wrote a book.
Oh, really? Okay.
And the book has, I don't know, a couple hundred spots, but not the best ones.
Yeah. That's amazing.
He's
good.
Yeah.
Well, that is the secret. That's the big secret that a lot of these guys have, is that they have not the fact that it's that location, but they have records from past years.
Well,
and they know the pattern.
These guys get friends with the shrimpers, and the shrimpers are out there dragging every night. And those shrimpers, they hang up something. Well, they write that coordinates down so they can tell their buddies, and then they don't want to hang up on it again.
Yeah.
So what did they hang up on?
Yeah.
So And here comes Marvin.
Hey, man, you found any new stuff out there to hang up on? Yeah, here's your coordinates. Appreciate it. And Marvin's going to go check it. Oh, yeah, there's fish there.
They're over there dumping refrigerators off the boat.
That's it, yeah.
There's so many red snapper right now that any piece of structure, anything, there's going to be fish on it. You know, and some of the structure is real small. We don't even realize it's there. We run over the top of it every day. But I've seen, there's so many of these fish that they're migrating a little bit too. We come last summer, we drove over a big pile of fish. We already had a limit, but the bottom machine just lit up. We stopped, went back, marked the coordinates, dropped a line down, big old red snapper. We let her go. Went back the next day, nothing. Nothing on the bottom, no fish, no nothing. It was just a big school of big fish moving from one spot to another.
Wow. Looking for bait. The only reason a fish moves is it's looking for something to eat.
Looking for food, boy. Yep, they're hungry.
That's the only reason they move.
Them red snapper, pretty much like me and Ken.
Yep, eating machines.
And looking for food.
Yep. Yep. They are. You know, and that's the bad thing. That's what I worry. Well, I don't really worry about them, but if they really get strong and get thick and get into the bays, that could hurt the bays. I don't know.
Well, it could hurt the bays, and they have moved in a little bit. They're not year round, and they're not everywhere. But there's a couple of places that my guys know where they could go and catch a limit of red snapper almost every day in the bays.
Wow!
I saw a couple of kayaks with one inshore the other day. That they posted up.
And it's just like everything else. They're going to be on some kind of rock structure or something like that, or around an old well or something.
And
the good thing is they're not going to be in that shallow water where like some of your trout and redfish are going to be most of the time. But it could make a difference, yeah.
Yep. You know, and just get out there and put your time in and catch a bunch of fish and call you, and then you can cancel on them. And well, sooner or later, the weather there change is, will the, change. It will change.
Even with this weather, the fishing from the bank fishing has been pretty darn good.
They're
catching some nice redfish and sheep's head out at the jetties, even a few speckled trout. They're catching the speckled trout at night out here in the park right behind me.
Oh, hey.
Off those little breakwater, little baby jetties back there. There's some nice trout out there. And that's not that's normal for this time of the year. We get January, late January, February, early March, go out there with some live shrimp, and you can whack them pretty hard in the park out here.
Are you seeing any? I know you got about 30 seconds. Are you seeing any flounder yet? I know what you
flounder run ended abruptly in December.
Oh, okay.
Very abruptly.
Just quit.
You know, one day there was some good fish. The next day there was all the little bitty fish, and that's the sign that it's done until spring.
Okay. So, and then the bays are, everybody's telling us it's the lowest they've ever seen them. Because full moon,
I'm seeing islands
northern.
That I haven't seen in a long time. Went up to Aransas Bay and Copano Bay and St. Charles Bay the other day, and on Lamar Peninsula and down to the Aransas Wildlife Refuge. It's just I didn't even know that it was that shallow in some places where those reefs are.
Tell them how to find you.
We're down here in Port Aransas. You know you can't miss us because we got that big red pirate ship. Come see us. Give me a call first. We'll see if we can get you hooked up with something. We're going to be snapper fishing here pretty soon. My number is 361-749-5597. I'm Jerry.
Deep Sea Headquarters. Captain Kelly's Deep Sea Headquarters. Jerry, we'll see you next week.
All right. Talk to you.
Be good, brother. Hey, family. We got to thank Callahan's, and thank you for tuning in. Next, we're going to Don Gordon. We'll be talking local lakes. See you in a bit. Thank you, family. Thank you, Callahan's.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylum.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Good word is we found Don Gordon. He's going to tell us what's happening in Lake Travis, Lake Austin, Town Lake, Bastrop, and let's see, Fayette, and what else? Are the crappie biting and Granger and good morning, Don. Now there's your questions.
You just piled on a workload there. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
We don't know it.
Oh man.
Well,
I'm as cold as the fish are.
You outside right now?
It's a little chilly.
I tell you. But, you know, we live in Texas, so it's chilly today and hot tamale. Mm-hmm. So there.
I knew that was coming. Yeah.
Don, I have a question for you. Did you Did you see Wendell Ramsey Sr.'s 14.92-pound bass?
From OHIV.
Yes.
Sure did. Man, what a toad.
Yes, and I guess it's now the first Cheryl Lunker of the season. They accepted it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
14.92.
That's right. Which
means it was a pure Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If they accepted it.
I remember when they built OHIV. OHIV, they went in there, and the reason I remember that's because the LCRA was fighting the hell out of it. Trying to keep the Colorado, the Concho River Valley.
Yeah. All the water.
Oh yeah, it's exactly mm-hmm. it. They didn't want to lose the Concho River Valley, a river of water. So anyway, I remember talking about it, and what Texas Parks and Wildlife did, and I think I had one of the biologists on at that time. They went in and dammed up a lot of the creeks, the little tributaries that run into it. And then they built dams on the draws and such as that, and let them and built a lot of ponds. They put these Florida hybrid bass in those ponds.
In the ponds, mm-hmm. That's correct.
And let them grow, and then when the lake come up over it,
also.
Wow,
that's where what?
That's how they did Lake Fork.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they did Lake Fork in three stages, and that was so successful that they've also done it in other lakes. That was kind of state of the art at the time.
Well, it worked because we see it worked on Fork, and it's working on OHIV. That's crazy.
Well, it is just out of control on Ivy right now. I'm loving it.
Oh.
Blue Line Bass Club's going to OHIV in early May.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Well, those parking lots.
I think it'll be post-spawn, but there may be some stragglers with the weather we're getting right now. But mm-hmm. There were fish that were actually moving up with all the warm weather we were having on all of our local lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are exceptions like Fayette, Bastrop, not so much, but Choke Canyon right now,
mm-hmm.
fish are on beds, and really? it's on.
So, on Choke Canyon, they're on beds? Are they on
on beds.
Are they on Falcon also?
Well,
it would make sense.
A good report on Falcon.
It would make sense because Falcon is further south than Choke Canyon.
Yeah.
But Falcon's in kind of a slump right now.
Yeah, it's because it's low.
It's been a little off for some reason. And there can be, you know, so many factors on that, the pH in the water, stuff like that. But Amistad, I hadn't heard a lot on, but Chocanyon, they are definitely on beds right now.
And I think you're the second person that's told me that. Manny Martinez, who guides on Choke Canyon, he said that they were on beds also. And the crappie are biting up over there.
That's what I heard from barefoot fishing.
Yeah. The crappie, yeah, from
Charles. From Charles, been, hitting them on Choke Canyon with crappie.
Or on Buchanan, you go up the river above, well, you're going to have almost go to Colorado Bend State Park, but you're still down the lake from Colorado Bend about two or three miles.
You can see Bend there.
Yeah, you can, where they're catching the crappie in the middle of the lake. They're just going out there, sticking the trolling motor down, locking it in with the GPS, and just go to chunking, or just let the boat drift, and they're chunking flea flies, let them hit bottom, and then reeling them back slow and catching crappie. Big crappie. And what are they there for? I don't understand it. And this is the second year or third year they've found them up there like that.
There's no real structure up there, no, is there?
That's just the river channel.
It's blank river. It's wide open. It's all sand.
Wow.
Yep. I don't know if it's spawning. And Bob couldn't tell us. I asked Bob about it.
They're probably just going in the deeper pools. I found that
warmer
before,
water
all the way almost up to Bend. I went up there, and man, we caught some magnum whites.
You know what it is? It's that river's coming down when it was warm, and that water was warming up, and in that shallow water on those rocks and such as that, and it stays warmer up there because
Remember in the shallow.
Yeah, I remember. Well, but that shallow water coming down the river, it pulls right there in the top, you know, head of the lake, and it's warmer up there. There was a hole, or still is a hole, at 10 yards. And y'all sitting there, where is 10 yards?
Everybody's
10
yards, looking it up.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 yards is up the river, and it's the big bluff on the left-hand side, if you're going up, and it's about 4 miles down the lake from Colorado Bend State Park. Well, there's a point sticks out right there off that bluff.
And a shallow point.
Yeah. Well, that's what that rock point is, but it comes way out, and when the river comes down on a rise, there's a big eddy behind it, and it keeps a hole behind it dug out. It's probably 19 foot deep in that hole right now, with the rest of the water being 14 or 15 foot deep. And about 35, 40 years ago, there's a bunch of guys going up there this time, you know, early in the spring, or early in late winter, and they were going up there in that hole and catching the fool out of crappie. But that was the deepest part. That was the deepest spot. Oh, you got about 3 minutes. Tell us what's happening on Travis and tournaments.
Okay. I think I gave you a report on what we did at the Open tournament.
Yep.
But I was going to go back over that. Josh Leva and Kyle Rapovich won with 15.47 pounds. They won $1,480. And had big bass. It was 816, and that was an additional $370. So they walked away with a $1,850 payday in a open tournament on Travis.
That worked.
Well, it worked pretty good.
Yeah.
And Brian Mader and Phil Warren. Brian is tournament director. Brian and I do that, the TTZ Tuesday Nighters, which incidentally are starting March 15th. I want to get the word out. We're going to start them March 15th.
So March 15th, Tuesday Nighters.
Tuesday Nighters at Mansfield Dam, $40 entry fee, and you need to be there. Takeoff is 6:30, and weigh-ins at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And your chip has to be on the table at 10 o'clock. If you're a minute late, you don't weigh in.
Yep.
And we're real strict with that one. Okay. But which is all the way up the hill at Mansfield, so you got to plan for it.
So but, what you're saying is you better be in good shape if you think you can run that far.
Well, how about this? I have to run up the hill several times.
Get there early.
Yeah.
And so if you can keep up with this old man, you can fish that
one. There you go. So, and also, Texas Tournament Zone, TTZ1.com, they're just having, LBJ, Trav Buchanan, Lake Travis, and Belton.
We are
I'm fixing
February 12th, Lake Travis, February 26th, LBJ, April 2nd, Belton, April 23rd, Buchanan.
We got to run. Tell them how to find you, brother.
512-784-7793. Y'all have a great day. Talk to you later.
Be good, Don. We'll holler. Thank you, Callahan's. Hey, family, we'll see y'all on the other side. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll find out in a minute. Bye.
Wind me up, turn me on, and watch me cry for you. Lately, drinking warm red wine is all I want to do. And I never know.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A canvas covered cabin in a crowded labor camp. Stand out in this memory I revive. 'Cause my daddy raised a family there with two hard-working hands, and tried to feed my mama's hungry eyes.
Hey, family. Well... We didn't have anybody to talk to.
Yeah.
So I guess we're just going to have to talk hunting, fishing, and cooking. And
looks good for me.
What do you want to talk about, Eric? Eric says he don't.
You know, I think it's a perfect subject because we were talking yesterday about how much we think we're eating a lot better.
Oh, yeah, we are.
You know, and I've lost some weight because I think I'm eating better, and I'm definitely eating, I'm eating more. And I'm eating better.
Because all the junk food places are closed.
That's right. Well, there's fewer tacos to get, and then after a while you realize that's all there was to get. So.
Well, you know, it's people are... Yeah, I think I may have to get Sam Kaufman back on and talk how to learn how to can and learn how to... put up food, mm-hmm. learn how to, and talk gardening. I know you said your garden, you're making it twice as big.
I love listening to him because of that, because we're doubling the garden because one of the pecan trees was taken out. The neighbor had one that was falling down, so he cut it down, and now I've got a big sunny spot. And we thought, you know, it's such a premium good garden space that mm-hmm. we have, so we're gonna expand our garden now and maybe double it. So.
Do you till yours?
Yeah, shovel till, just the... I don't know what you call that pitchfork tail. Yeah. Those little. I found it's a lot easier than a machine that doesn't get as deep.
Have you ever looked into a no-till garden?
I've seen that. In fact, was it Sam that was talking about that? Who
Man,
was
Sam?
Where did
I
hear
at,
about this?
Well,
recently?
I know you heard about it from me. Mm-hmm. I got on YouTube or a YouTube channel and got to looking for no-till gardens because I don't have a tiller and I would rent one.
Yeah,
I says, you know, there's got to be a different way. And then I think my wife told me about it. But then you go out there, when you till, all you're doing is bringing the grass seed up that you had tilled under the year before.
Dormant, yeah.
And it's dormant, and when you bring it up the top, it grows again. And you've done that for years, and how many seeds are in that grass?
I'm getting deja vu now. I do remember talking about this. My problem that with that is that our clay is so gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we have under, you know, you get down 2 or 3 inches and it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that far from the water table. Mm-hmm. I can probably dig 10 feet and get water. But underneath it's gumbo. It turns to mush and nothing flat. So I have to mix organic with it and some sand. Or I can't even get roots to take. Now, grass loves it.
Yeah.
I could grow sod.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the grass that grows in my yard, it doesn't even go to seed.
Wow.
It'll grow 2 or 3 feet tall without going to seed. So it's just in that gumbo mud.
Well, on what I've got into is doing a no-till. You take cardboard. You lay cardboard down. Then you'll cut your little hole that you're going to plant in. And while the cardboard keeps all the grass from growing, all your weeds from growing, cut your little hole that you're going to plant in, you till that little hole. You mix your compost in there, you put your sand in there, then you put your plant in there. And then your plant can take roots into that, and once it gets older, it can get into that gumbo, and then all of a sudden it has a lot more moisture into it.
I'd like to compare. Maybe I should try one to see if that works, because it'd be worth it. I mean, honestly, the yield we get is good, but I was already warned right away is you need to add at least some sand to that. And then I go buy garden mix, I guess is what it is. It's it's just a general organic kind of mulch that's along with it, and it really helps. Along with some kind of recycling some of our trash, it seems to help.
Are you composting your trash?
Not enough, but leaves, definitely leaves and grass. So in some of the trash, like the banana peels, and, you know, we eat a lot of avocados and that kind of stuff, so that all goes in there, and I had to realize don't throw the avocado seeds in there.
Nope. No, they'll grow. They'll
try to grow, yeah.
Yeah, they grow. I've never made avocado. We grow trees, but we grow them in the greenhouse. They don't grow out. Once you take them out of that greenhouse, they're going to die.
Oh, really? They only grow in there? Yeah. Well, somebody told me, maybe my son-in-law said that down in Seguin is the guru of all avocados of the world.
Really?
Apparently lives in Guadalupe County. And
does he grow avocados?
Well, not there. In Mexico, apparently he does. But somebody said this man makes 10 cents for every avocado sold in the United States. And I'm like,
he's filthy rich.
That's a gig.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good gig. Yeah. How do you become the avocado king?
Wow. Yeah. You know, how many thousands and thousands of avocados is just used to make guacamole?
Exactly. But the worst than that is they used to be, not that long ago, 4 for $1.
Why not?
You know, it's like 88. Now, a good deal is 80 cents, 88 cents a piece. Yeah. And the organic ones, are you kidding me? Who's going to go pay $1.80 for an avocado?
Not me.
Well, somebody's buying them.
Oh, you know they are.
They're not selling it in Little Seguin, though.
I will say that the organic food that I have bought at the big box grocery stores is generally a better flavor.
Yes.
They are.
But wasn't it all organic years ago? Oh, we didn't have a delineation between that. It was this was a higher quality, and that other stuff was just a lower quality.
Yep.
And most all of it, even when they've thrown it away, it's still edible. Yep. There's not that much wrong with it.
I think we're going to have to get Sam back on here pretty quick. Well, especially where here it is, people are putting in their Well, when you can find onion sets, you can plant your onions, and you, the Callahan's now has seed potatoes in, and they have all their trees and a lot of their plum and, you know, peach trees and fruit trees and nut trees, and they have seed potatoes, so you need to get your seed potatoes in the ground pretty quick, by the way.
Yeah, it's time now.
So, we may have to get Sam back on here.
Well, what I messed up on this year is I didn't, you know, I didn't plant enough of my herbs and spices because I grow all my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get enough basil in the ground this year. I didn't get enough my thyme.
You ran
out of time.
Oh, no.
I did have some.
Did you run out of rosemary, too?
Yeah. Well, not fresh. I have plenty of rosemary because it grows like a weed in our yard. But thyme, you know, once it got a little bit too cold, that stuff went away. And I'm like, I don't have enough. And I didn't dry enough.
What about parsley and sage?
Yes. Parsley, sage, rosemary. I won't sing it for you. No. I think that was the Garfunkel tune, not the Simon, right?
Yeah. So, how about cilantro?
Cilantro? That's growing indoors right now. We got that indoors.
That would be coriander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We brought a bunch of that in. You know, I grow that now for the seeds.
Really? And you're grinding the seed?
Yes. Because I love using the coriander seeds, and I think it's a great spice. And it's a real good spice to mix in with a meat rub.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take and I've discovered that as a pretty good, you can mash them down. Oh, I don't know what it is.
What's coriander taste like? Let's see.
I'm going to tell you, it tastes like
coriander.
It tastes like cilantro, but it's got a nuttier, peppery taste to it.
So
it cooks very well.
The coriander seed, then grind it,
mm-hmm.
and then put it on your. It's going to have that cilantro flavor with a little bit of a nutty flavor.
That's right. Brings it in.
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It assimilates to the food really good.
Eric's listening to the music. Hey, family, we got to get out of here. Well, next, we're going to talk to Ryan Hoover. We're going to talk pistols, guns, hunting. Ain't no telling what we're going to talk about. See you in a bit, family. Thank you, Callahan's.
Roses Cantina, music would play and Felino would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felino, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden, I was in love but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind. Dashing and daring, a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I love. So in a...
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
I still feel most of the time, I still raise a little cane with the boys. Honky tonks and pretty women, Lord, I'm still right there with them, singing above the crowd and the noise. Sometimes I feel like Jesse James, still trying to make a name, knowing nothing's gonna change what I am. I was a young troubadour when I wrote in on a song, and I'll be an old troubadour when I'm gone.
Damn, that's a good song. That's a good song. We're sorry Ryan didn't get to hear that. But wow. We just heard Troubadour by George Strait, if you know the song, Ryan. And that is such a good song.
That is a good one.
It is. Especially when you got a little age on you, about 60, 65. Yeah, I still feel like I'm 25. Sometimes.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. That's it. But, hey, I was talking to Ryan a day or two ago, and Ryan says, when are we going to do get this podcast? I said, well, I got the studio. I got everything to do. I got to get Chico up and set it up. So when are we going to do that, Chico?
I think it's a couple of weeks now.
Okay.
In fact, we're going to be up with Bob. So it'll give us some time to, we're going to have to do something in there.
Okay.
At least take a look.
So, we can get the Roadcaster and get it everything. Because I'm really looking forward to this, to doing this with Ryan and with you. And I've got so much equipment that we can do this. And Eric's sitting there looking at us, what do you got to do? I said, well, Eric, you're the one that makes us sound good. I don't know how to put all this stuff together. I just BS on radio.
Well, unfortunately, that's what we got to do is make sure you can put it together. It's actually not hard to roll.
And Eric said, or Ryan says, well, I've already got stuff where I'm doing it already. I said, well, come on. I'll put it together then.
Yeah, sure.
So that'd be fun. But, you know, folks, what we're doing is Ryan makes and hunts with pistols. And now you hunt with pretty much any kind of pistol, right?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, if it's a handgun, then that's what I use to hunt. I put the rifle down years ago and haven't picked it up since.
You sound like a bow hunter.
Well, I'm maybe as passionate about handgun hunting as a lot of bow hunters are. It's just I'm not into bows, man. I'm into handguns.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's, you know, I'm into rifles. I've always been a rifle hunter. My dad raised us where, you know, pistols made to shoot a man with. That's the way I was raised. And I never, now I've got, and the pistols I've got, now I've got two muzzleloader, six shooters. I've got a 50 caliber muzzleloader that's, you load like a muzzle loader. The others are six shooters where you put your powder in the revolver and put your ball and everything in that. And then now I've got the contenders that you helped me get. And I'm looking forward to learning how to use those. I will say, I was planning on taking animals has come hunting season and didn't get a chance to and didn't get out and just too busy moving to another house. And,
oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's a good time now. We're running into some good times for it.
So I'm still, but now we've got enough pigs. Mm-hmm. We got enough feral pigs. And we need to go take some feral pigs. You know what? I'm putting it together, Chico. We need to get Ryan. We need to take a feral pig or two. Then we use the all-season feeders. We clean it, do everything we do, chill it down, put it on the all-season feeder, cook it, smoke it.
I like it. I like it.
We could do that
really
easy. Do
an 80-pound whole hog or something?
Yeah, a whole hog on that all-season feeder,
Okay.
Are you thinking?
Let's bury one Hawaiian style.
Oh, yeah. We could do a luau, too. That's
well,
fun.
What we could do is, too, we could do one on the all-season feeder. Mm-hmm. Smoke it, and then we do one in the ground, wrapped up, and where are you getting the banana leaves?
That's a good question. I guess we'd have to use yucca leaves here.
Burlap.
Burlap, that's what I was thinking to you.
Wet burlap.
Now, are we skinning it, or are we going to scrape it?
Man, I've always skinned the pigs that I shot, but I just never had a chance to scrape them, but I know a lot of people do, and I definitely want to give it a try. But I'm not, the work doesn't bother me, but, man, do I love pigskin.
Oh, cracklings? Oh, yeah.
know, when you scrape them, and then that's when we skin them. When I was a kid, you know, we scraped all our pigs, and then we skin mm-hmm. them after you scraped them. Then you cut the skin up, and then you cook it down in a big cast iron pot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you made lard.
Yeah.
You cooked with that. And then you got to eat cracklings.
Chicharron.
No, yeah, chicharrones. Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. And oh, have you ever had crackling cornbread?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
That's good stuff.
Green chili crackling cornbread.
Well, ours was jalapeno.
Mm.
And you probably had
making
hatch.
Me hungry as usual.
I know. Yeah. You probably had hatch chili.
Hatch chili, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the mild?
No, there's no such thing.
Well, you get them. You, when we found out, you get them when they're first off, they're mild.
That's the stuff we send to you.
Oh, okay. The hatch peppers, the older they get, the hotter they get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're as hot as chili peppers, but they're not bad.
No, and it's actually great flavor. So.
And it's good flavor. And you just cut back on the amount
that's right.
you use.
That's right. Use less.
So
if you die, I'll do less.
Yeah, that's it. If you see the sweat start beading on his forehead, hey, that stuff's hot. Well, don't put so much in there.
You need to put a little less.
No, I will tell you something. The other day I ordered some ground up. Eric's looking at me and said, we going to talk guns? No, we're talking food right now. I ordered some red chili powder.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Hatch chili powder. Mm-hmm. But anyway, now we're going to talk guns, Eric. Eric says,
well, the reason I shoot guns is to get food, so it's all connected. Right?
I know, it is. And that's what it's all about. And Justin Drabblebise, who is the CEO of TWA, the Texas Wildlife Association.
Uh-huh,
and
yeah.
We got to talking to him, and I think we need to get you and him together because they have an adult hunting program that teach men how to hunt. Men
yeah,
that
I've heard of that. Doesn't Larry, isn't he hooked up with
them?
Oh,
yeah. 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 He's one of the biologists mm-hmm. that helped farm them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I've been working on stuff like that with Larry to get involved with that kind of thing. Cause, you know, what I do is I wouldn't say it's unique, but it's definitely under the radar. You know, a lot of people don't know about hunting with a handgun.
Yeah.
And, it's more challenging, obviously, but you know, I do a lot of thinking about like, why do people want to do something that's harder? And it's not because we like necessarily working so much harder to do it. Although some of us do, it's because it just feels so much better when you're successful at it. And, I really, you know, to me, the reason that I think handgun hunting is the best way to hunt is because there's so many things under that umbrella. You know, we talked about bow hunting. Well, if you look at bows, that's all they are. You know, they're either a compound or a recurve bow. Mm-hmm. And you could look at them and they're just not, I mean, I'm sorry to bow hunters out there, and I am completely ignorant as to bows, but you know, one bow looks pretty much the same to another bow these days. But when it comes to handgun hunting, man, I hunt with 1911s, revolvers, the contenders. We build specialty pistols, the bolt action pistols, and you can use so many different varieties of handgun and caliber and hunting style and method. And you know, it just allows you to be kind of diverse in what you pursue your game with, but still, you know, under the same skill
set. Let's talk more about this on the other side. We got to let the station make a little money, Ryan, and we'll keep this going. I want to keep this mindset going, talking about how to hunt, what to do, how to do it. How, you know, do you want to get in the brush? Do you want to do this? I got to get out of here. We got to thank Callahan's General Store. Ryan Hoover, we'll see him and we'll be visiting with him in just a minute. Thank you. See you in a little bit, family. Thank you, Callahan's.
Hits the white road. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylob.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say, I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's. Got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, with 4 living gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair.
Hey, family, we've got Ryan Hoover on the phone right now with Handgun Hunters, Hunter Supply?
Handgun Hunter Supply and Handgun Hunters International. Yes,
yep.
Sir.
And that's .com. And Ryan, well, tell them right quick, you help people learn how to hunt with a pistol, and that's what you're going to do with me one of these days.
Yeah, so I'm the director of Handgun Hunters International, which is the nation's and most premier organization for handgun hunters. We have a membership where we have an online community, but also, and more importantly, we get together to go hunting through the organization. We publish a digital magazine for the organization. We have monthly giveaways where we give away guns and gear and stuff like that. But I also run a custom handgun shop where we build custom handguns for people. But yeah, teaching is my favorite thing to do. And so the more people that I can get into the field with a handgun, the better I think it is. Because, to tell you the truth, when you overcome a challenge like setting the challenge of yourself of being able to harvest your own game with a handgun means you have to practice with it, means you have to be a good woodsman, et cetera. And so, it's really rewarding. It's really rewarding.
You do need to get with Justin, because what you just said is kind of what he was saying, with the adult mentored hunts.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what, they're getting so many adults. They're wanting to get out there, men and women wanting to learn how to do this so they mm-hmm. can pass it on to their kids, their children. And it's exactly what we talk about here on the show. So I know they're going to have some, the Big Game Awards, and I think they got one in June, maybe in New Brunswick. Is that where it was, Chico? He was mentioning it. I think it
yes,
was.
Yes.
You want to ride with me? We'll talk about it later on, but mm-hmm. Be thinking about it. And we'll get to meet Justin and visit with these guys a little more. I'm sure Larry will be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be a good way to get everybody in together, but I want to get Justin on with you and me, and we sit down at Chico and whatever, and we sit down and do a podcast with them. And Larry, if we can, we can put them up at the cabins up there at our place on Lake Buchanan, and for a night or two, and we sit down and do a show or two, podcast. I think this would
sounds
be
good
fun.
To me.
I think this would be fun. Okay, I'm thinking, but now. What pistol? If you're, I know when we were talking a few months ago, you were talking about shooting targets at 1,700 yards? Feet?
That has been done. I have never shot a target that far. The farthest I've ever hit is 1,400.
Oh, is that all? Is
that, that's all. Okay. That's all, yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah, that's not 17.
Hey, you know, nothing more important in the long-range world than honesty. You know, there's a lot of chicanery that goes on with that. But, yeah, so that's one of the things that I use as an example of you know, people say people have a limited understanding of what handguns are capable of. And I always tell them, you know, if anything can be hunted, it has been hunted with a handgun.
Yep.
Any kind of game animal you can imagine has been taken with a handgun. And long range, so, you know, speaking as a custom gun builder for the past 15 years, I can tell you that barrel length has zero to do with accuracy. Barrel length has a lot to do with velocity. But if you build, so the pistols in that we're talking about shooting that far are bolt action specialty pistols. They have, you know, usually 15-inch barrels on them. And, yeah, it's kind of like lobbing artillery at that range, but they're definitely capable of making hits out to that distance.
Now, when you're saying making hits, it's not hunting. That's hitting a metal target, and you hear it ring. Is that basically?
Thanks for clarifying that. I do not promote hunting game at that distance. No. I know some people do it. And my belief is if it's legal and ethical, then they should be allowed to do it. But for me, that takes all the fun out of it, because one of the things that I love about handgun hunting is the ability and the opportunity to develop my woodsman skills and to be able to see how close I can get to something. Not how far away I can shoot.
That's a good point. This everything isn't Quigley, is it?
Good. I'm sitting there. That's a good point. I'm sitting there. No, no. I have killed at 600, 700 yards with my rifles, and by damn, that's pretty good. Yeah. It's Quigley. It's Quigley down
the
under.
The whole idea is to get close. Yeah.
I can shoot that animal at 100 yards.
But also, you know, there are some hunting situations, especially out west, you know, where you have really long opportunities for shots. And if you have a 10-day hunt and you're on day 9 and the animal that you've been chasing all week, you know, appears at 600 yards, you want to be prepared to take that shot. I mean, if that's the kind of hunting you're doing, and God knows that handguns are capable of it. Handguns are capable of killing past that, you know, and it's just a matter of, you know, almost always does the capability of the handgun outstrip the ability of the shooter. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So Elmer Keith back in the day was putting 45 Colt slugs through a 1-inch plank in an outhouse at half a mile away. And, you know, sure, that will kill something, but very few people, if anybody, have the ability to make that hit on a moving game animal. It's just a matter of, you know, with any kind of hunting, you have to make your decisions in the field commensurate with the preparation that you've put in. So if you haven't done your, you know, first of all, you should always have done your due diligence and practice. But if you, and I always tell people, you know, you set your limits. That's if you can consistently jog up a hill and hit a paper plate at whatever distance, then you just do not take a shot past that distance. It's not fair to yourself. It's not fair to the animal that you're hunting. Yeah. And it could give us a bad name if you have any bad experiences.
And that is why I've never been a bow hunter, is because there's so many animals that back in the day that were wounded and they took off, and you found them 6 months later, or a month later because of the buzzards, and there's an arrow stuck in it. And that's why I never became a bow hunter.
Yeah. And you know, there's nothing against bow hunting. Nope. It's just people think that they could pick up a bow and be like, well, I'm going to the field this weekend. No, it's a responsibility that you're taking on when you decide to hunt these ways, and you acknowledge that when you pick up a bow or when you pick up a handgun, you're saying, I know that I am upping the difficulty level, which means I am upping the work that I have to and am willing to put in order to be successful.
Mine are Thompson Contender pistols. They're breakovers. You put one bullet in, you flop it up, you look down through the scope, and you pull the trigger. And that's what I wanted to do. That's the kind of hunting, because it's closer to a rifle. And that's what
that's a good jump for a rifle hunter to make, is those specialty pistols with scopes on them.
Yeah, I think Eric says we need to get Uncle Ted in here talking pistols.
Yeah, Nugent is a handgun hunter.
Yep.
Handgun Hunters International. I'm the second. We're in the second iteration of that organization. It was a bigger deal back in the 80s and 90s, and Ted Nugent was a member and actually wrote for the magazine some.
We got a break here, Ryan. We're going to have about 4 or 5 minutes on the other side, so stick around. I'm going to let you tell about how to get where you can become a member. So we'll talk about it in just a second. Folks, Ryan Hoover, Handgun Hunter Supply. I probably got that wrong. .com. We'll see y'all on the other side, family. Thanks.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time.
Hey, family, we got Ryan Hoover on the phone, and I'll mess it up. Ryan, tell him the .com. I know.
you can find my gun shop at handgunhuntersupply.com. And you can find the organization that you should definitely join at handgunhuntersinternational.com.
And I'll tell y'all, Ryan probably don't want me to tell y'all this, he's a pretty damn good gunsmith, too.
Appreciate that.
And he fixed a couple of my rifles. In fact, fixed one. I was going to sell this one rifle, it's 223, because it just, the trigger wasn't there. I like a light trigger. Ryan fixed it. He says, "Oh, I didn't put nothing on it. What did you do to that gun to make it where I could shoot it?" You backed it off.
That was that Thompson Center.
Yeah.
We
I don't know.
We just did some spring work and some sear engagement work.
It's good.
Kind of polished it up.
Yeah, that's all it did. Yeah. Just make it work. Now, you tell them about your Handgun Hunters International. Handgun Hunting International.
Yeah. So Handgun Hunters International was originally started in 1979 by a guy named by the name of J.D. Jones, who people in the industry will know was the he owned SSK Industry. I approached J.D. Jones about copying some of the old magazines. Things came about, and I asked him if I could restart Handgun Hunters International. Now, he has absolutely nothing to do with the organization anymore. He just gave me his blessing to continue it on, but he's not involved. So anyway, I am just continuing the legacy of some of those old-time handgun hunters from the 70s, 80s, and 90s by trying to have a place, the premier community for handgun hunters. And like I said, we do have an online community, a forum that's heavily moderated to be welcoming to everybody. You know, I make sure that it's family friendly. I don't allow any disparaging remarks about other people or their what they do, how they like to hunt, as long as it's safe and legal. And it's a lot of fun. But that is just the tip of the iceberg. We also put together hunts. Like, for instance, we're just about to announce a stellar deal on a plains game or Cape Buffalo hunt in South Africa that you get to go on with Mark Hampton, who literally wrote the book on handgun hunting. He's written three books about handgun hunting, one of them called Handgun Hunting. And he's a member, and he's I'm really excited to be able to do that. But also we do monthly giveaways. Like we November we gave away a Ruger Blackhawk and 45 Colt with a holster and ammo and all that. Last month we gave away a Cricket pistol in 22 mag with a rest and some ammo. This month we're giving away some First Light hunting gear, and every month we give away as a way to give back to our members. We're also looking at doing things like an HHI record book, where we can have a gathering of records from people who pursue game with handguns. And of course, you know, we have a lot of interest in the industry to get information from our constituents to say, you know, here's what handgun hunters are looking for. Because, you know, like I said, handgun hunting is kind of under the radar, but there are plenty of handgun hunters out there. And whether it's diehards like me or people who will say, yeah, I'm gonna hunt a few times this season with my revolver or whatever it is. So I highly recommend that everybody go to handgunhuntersinternational.com and join, because it's $5 a month. Or if you buy a year, you get a month free. And you just get to be a part of a really cool community. Everybody is just very helpful. And there's lots of cool stories from that you can learn how to do this kind of hunting from others. And it's just a really good community.
You know, it's something we were talking about yesterday is people have learned how to eat more healthy. And there's nothing that's better for you than wild game, or pasture raised venison, that is even feral pig. You know, it's feral, it's wild game. It has been range fed. They get out there and they forage, and this is just something that was lost in the. I know I'm fixing to be out of time here, but it was lost as the way people used to hunt. They go out and hunt. They hunted for food. They went out there and they found what they needed. They got it and used it. And then all of a sudden now people, well, they hunted for just for the horns. And now it's kind of fallen back to where we're hunting for food again. And it's a whole lot. It's so much easier. It's just... You know,
so I'll add quickly also that handgun hunting, the way that I do it, the way that I like to teach people to do it, also involves physical activity. You have to get some exercise. You have to walk, you have to stalk through the woods, and those kinds of things are also very good for your health, in addition to getting your own meat. So, yeah.
So tell them how to find you again, and we'll get you on again here pretty quick, and we got to get this podcast going. So tell them how to find you and how to look you up.
You can find my gun shop, handgunhuntersupply.com. We're happy to talk about any custom builds that you want. We specialize in custom 1911s, revolvers, and specialty pistols. And I encourage you all to join Handgun Hunters International, and you can find that at handgunhuntersinternational.com.
Folks, I met Ryan last year, year before last, something like that. And he worked on some of my rifles, and then we got BSing about pistols, and I have always wanted to learn how to do it. And so sooner or later, you're going to see videos, I guarantee you. And we'll be talking about it on a podcast. So, Ryan, thank you so very much. Appreciate it. And we'll be hollering at you again.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it.
Be good, brother. We'll holler. Well, I know we've got about 3 minutes here.
Yeah. Well, that was a great interview.
It was
I love talking to him all the time.
He's good. Yeah. He's good, and he's passionate about what he's doing. You know, it's something like I talked to a bow hunter. And I can't really talk to that bow hunter.
It's hard to relate, yeah.
It's hard for me because I'm a rifle hunter.
Right.
And it's the same thing, but a little different talking to a pistol hunter.
Well, I think that was a great point he brought up about, you know, we go out here and say we want a bow hunt because we want it to be more difficult, but we really don't want it to be. We want it to be as easy as we can make it, not necessarily that much more work. But if you're here to put some meat in the freezer, well, let's go use a bullet.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. I like the idea of a handgun hunting over a rifle because I agree that the skill, you know, it's a skill that you have to acquire and be close to do so. You know, it doesn't encourage you to take that 400-yard shot, that 300-yard shot that you might take with a rifle. Well, I kind of like that.
With me, it was always my dad would talk about taking 400 and 500-yard shots. So that's why I like to reach out there.
The macho thing.
Yeah. And then now I also had an uncle that daddy and all my aunts and uncles or uncles would talk about. Mm-hmm. He could take 5 blocks of wood, throw them up in the air, and break each one of them before they hit the ground.
Isn't that amazing?
With a pistol.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
If it wasn't for my grandpa saying, you know, this is our, you know, we've got 16 acres here. This is total thing is 40 acres. And if something gets shot here, we have to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go find it, son. You're going to be going to find it, not me.
Yeah.
And that's what it would make me think about. And, you know, is this shot beyond you? And he made sure you'd be close enough.
You know, if you bow hunters are here, get hold of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk bow hunting. I can't talk bow hunting, but you can. Chico, appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Ken.
Eric, thank you for making us all sound good. Family, thank you all for tuning in. We got to thank Callahan's General Store. They're open tomorrow. Get by there and see them. And we'll see y'all on the other side. Same bad channel, same bad place. See you, family. Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.